Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Wade Butler, chaplain for the Republics of the United States of America. I want to welcome you here tonight on our prayer call on this beautiful 29th of April, but more importantly, it's the 21st day of Nisan, and it's the day after Resurrection Sunday. We're going to talk about some of those things over tonight, and we're going to cover a lot of ground, but we're also going to spend a lot of time in prayer, so buckle up. The Lord is getting ready to bring some very important intel, and you're going to be blessed. Glory, glory. Well, I tell you what. The time and season that we're in has really been interesting. We've been talking on a pre-call, and several of us have talked today about all the challenges going on, attacks on the family, attacks on finances, the government, the wars, the rumors of wars, this sheer stupidity and the level of it that's coming out on the airways, and the fact that today I had a big conversation about our Canadian brothers and sisters. The witches and warlocks are having a major convention in Saskatchewan, I believe it is, coming up in a few months. It's this summer, but they're preparing for it. And one of the big things that most folks don't realize is they have conferences every day. The witches and warlocks and the covens are continually doing everything they can to pray down from the wicked side that which would bring a stumbling block in our lives. We should not have to worry about that at any time, because God is literally clearing the path. You know, God is going before us, and the angels are behind us as we press in, as we seek, and as we call on the host to clear a path that no wickedness, and his promises, you know, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. The only thing that he did say in that, it's going to be formed. It just will not prosper. So the enemy is wanting to bring as many people down through fear. We're supposed to have a reverence, trust in the Lord, which is considered the same word for fear, versus the deception fear that the enemy's bringing in. And people are getting really upset. They're really concerned. They're out of money. Their health is bad in so many places. The challenges about taxes, the cost of food, cost of gas, everything that we look at today that is being thrown in our face is the enemy trying to bring about a place where we will no longer trust the Lord. At the same time, our Lord is preparing an outpouring that cannot be denied. He says, those that wait patiently for the Lord, okay, because he's heard our cry, he will lift up out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the muck and the debris and the mire, and set our feet on solid ground and steadily as we walk along in him. Psalm 40, verse 1 and 2. So God is not calling us to reject or quench the spirit out of fear of flesh. He's saying, stand strong. Remember, now is the time. Do not quench my spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good and reject what is evil. That's Thessalonians 5, 19 through 22. I was a follower of Kenneth Hagin for years. We had a Rhema church. It was not from his college. We named our church Rhema. I did do a correspondence school with him, and it was part of what we did in the ministry team that I was involved with when I got ordained. And when we look at what Brother Hagin used to say, one of his old country favorite sayings was simply this: you got to be as smart as a cow. A cow chews the hay and spits out the sticks. And you go, what? This is exactly what First Thessalonians was saying. Do not have contempt for the spirit and the prophecies. Test them all. Hold on to what's good and reject what is evil. You know, we're in a time and season where the church, the Christian church, celebrated Easter, which was the, you know, pagan holiday that was adopted by Constantine and the Pope. We celebrated that back in, you know, weeks ago. And that was not the true time or season. And now even the Orthodox Church is celebrating Easter, coming up on, well, it actually began. It's actually on the 30th. So tomorrow they celebrate it. What most people fail to pay attention to is that he was a Hebrew. And therefore, he had to fulfill the prophecy, the Passover lamb. So as we cross over from Passover to into the new, literally the old seeds had to die in order to cross over. The Yeshua had to die. Gethsemane is still a garden in heaven. Literally, the garden in heaven is still there. What we had down here was a copy of it. And as the Lord, Yeshua, passed through the Garden of Gethsemane, as he cried out, as he poured his heart out, you know, take this cup from me, he was saying, now is the time, this is the season, I'm willing to do it. And the question is becoming more and more, are we prepared? Are we willing to take the steps to go into the time that the Lord's called us into? It is costly, but it's worth the price. Charlie Shamp, in yesterday's calendar, was talking about the resurrection of the Lord. And it's not just a mere fact in history. It's a divine testament to the unraveling power and promise of eternal life for us, for all those that are his. You know, in the profound words of a saint, John Chrysostom, he destroyed Hades when he descended into it. He took the keys of hell and death. The enemy no longer had keys to his own house anymore. And he literally, when he rose, which would have been sometime between 6 o'clock last night and the same time tonight, for those of you that are still on the further west than we are, he rose. He rose from the dead. Our sins were forgiven through the blood. The enemy was cast down. The victory was won. And resurrection into a jubilation celebration of life, which is far beyond anything we could imagine, beyond death, beyond the greatest sorrows that could ever be, began. So to him be the power and the praise and, you know, and adoration forever and ever and ever. As we celebrate the resurrection of our Yeshua, which, you know, I did yesterday somewhat, we need to literally rejoice in that victory over death. We have overcome death. Now, just because we pass on, our life is eternal with him. And through that death, burial, and resurrection, we all know the story. When Yeshua said it is finished, literally, James Nesbitt said this. He said, as we celebrate that, the roar that came from the cross, it is finished. He shouted it out with all the strength he had left. Well, it literally covered our bloodlines, our cities, our countries, our nations, our states, our loved ones, all the sin that could ever happen. You know, it's covered under the death, burial, and resurrection in the blood. And, you know, we need to shout hallelujah. That is the roar, the pulling down, the destruction of the enemy's plans and purposes. When he said, it is finished, there was nothing that had to be done except our accepting it. You know, so we're now in a time and a season beyond anything that the saints and the patriarchs of the past had even hoped for or hoped to see, because we're going into the times and seasons where they know things are moving very rapidly. And, you know, David Phelps sings a song, which I try to sing. I'm not there yet. One day I'm going to sing that song, and it was the end of the beginning. And that's what it was. When Christ died on the cross, that was the end of the beginning. And we've just gone through the end, you know, of the church age, because that was the beginning. That was the middle section. Now we're into the kingdom age. It's upon us. And all that it is, everything that it could hope to be, is upon us. So when we go into this time and season, every day that we get up, we need to be thankful, because we're in the time of the kingdom season. That doesn't, I'm not talking about the millennial reign. I'm talking about his kingdom. He said, his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when he said, you know, literally that we should be celebrating his kingdom and reestablish his kingdom, that's something that myself and Matt and John and many of you and male that works with us that actually have a mandate call to help reestablish the kingdom. That is one of the things that we've been told to do in certain business transactions and financial transactions, that we are pioneering the reestablishment of the kingdom of the Lord. And literally through that, it's not just the fivefold ministry. It's not just revival. It's not just the harvest of souls or deliverance or prosperity or joy or laughter or talking in tongues or rejoicing. It is literally now about the kingdom. You can look on the line, you can look in our calendar, all across the board. The heavens have been prepared for this moment, the reestablishment of the kingdom. Now, he's perfecting his bride. And because he's perfecting his bride, it's requiring things that we have not really pressed into. We have not known. We thought we were being prepared, but so many had the rapture theology that they would go outside and jump up and down trying to get out of here. I'll be honest with you, I was that way once. I taught eschatology. I taught on the end times. I taught on what the rapture was all about and how we're going to get out in the beginning. And then he showed me where I was wrong. And he says, no. He said, the enemy's going to be taken out first, the very wicked. So what's happening to the wicked right now? They're being exposed. They're being exposed on TV and politics and the military. I just had a phone call with one of my dear friends in Canada that we've done things together for years, and special needs children and other things, and we're working together now, and we've come to the conclusion that we can no longer use certain phone lines because of the times and the season. We can no longer use certain verbiage, phrases, things that are trigger words for the enemy. We're going to have to be a little bit more clandestine in our approach to things and give praise and glory to God. Bind, blind, make deaf, dumb, mute every power, principality, and ruler of wickedness. You know, because the enemy is trying to get into everything. And this is something John is probably going to mention just a little bit. But Johnny Inlow today had an incredible word. I'm not going to go into it that much. Maybe I hope John will give a little bit more points on it. But he was talking about the church. Now, one of the things as a pastor that I learned a long time ago, that 80% of the pastors in a church, particularly it didn't matter denomination. Denomination had nothing to do with it. They were compromised. Mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially, the lust, perversion, not studying, not delivering the word, not standing, not praying, not believing in Holy Spirit. They were compromised in some way. So if that means that only 20% of that church is left, and then you take a look at the church itself and you go, Lord, how many of the church are actually even saved? And you say a remnant, you go, wait a minute, a remnant was 10 to 15%. So if only 20% is actually not compromised and 10 to 15% of that, okay, is the remnant, and of that, there's only so many that are the bride, you go, Lord, it's getting really narrow, but it gets really narrow so he can bring us all in. Those that are not totally walking, there's some stumbling that's going to take place, but he's exposing the church. And the church has to be exposed along with everybody else. And the church is actually, some of the things are being exposed first. Johnny was saying how it grieved him and it surprised him. So many key people have fallen away, have fallen into ear tickling rather than the heart of the Lord. And so as we go in, as we press on, we are literally at a time and a season where the Lord says, I'm here to bless my bride. I'm raising up my bride. Now, the mandate the Lord gave me when I became chaplain, he said, train up my bride. I went, wow, that's kind of a heavy duty thing to do, Lord. And he says, I'll help you along the way. And that has to do with part of the calendar. That has to do with part of what we do here on Monday nights and other things that we are involved in, that he's given us great grace. And that great grace has literally taken us over the threshold into the new place that we can press in, see, hear, know, and understand. Because the Lord said, I'm pulling out all the stops. Everything that has been hidden, everything that's been in darkness, everything that has been deception by the enemy, I am literally dealing with. I'm bringing it to the surface and exposing it. Over this past several weeks, I've heard of many elite so terrified that they wanted to run to the caves already because they see what's coming. They see that the Lord is literally looking to and fro for those whose heart after him, his own heart, and those that he can bless because they're cursed and the enemy is shaking. All you got to do is look around you. I was talking about even Francis and I. I had to repent again this morning. Her and I got snippy with each other. And I said, don't you see who this is? It's not us. It's the enemy. We've got to go deeper. We got to press in. We can't let the enemy get in between us or infiltrate our camp. And we know that, through your loved ones, through your children, through your grandchildren, through things around you, through TV, through the news media, anything that you watch or look at or involved with, the enemy can penetrate because the word says, even the elect will be deceived, not can be deceived, will be deceived. Many of the elect are going to be deceived. So as we press in, as we go in and seek the Lord, and he's saying, come unto me, come up higher. Let me love you. Let me cleanse you. Let me purify you. Let me literally burn my light within you that it's no longer you who live, but my light. Let me manifest myself through you that it's not you who live, but my Son, your Lord and Savior that lives through you. And as you go forward, you will be the light. And he says, no longer reflect my light. He says, be my light. Literally, be my light that they see me when you enter a room. So in Jim Gregor and I were talking about this convention coming up in Canada. He said, well, maybe a bunch of us just ought to book a trip and go up there and just walk in the middle of that conference, get seats in the center of it and just start praying in the spirit. I said, I had to laugh. I said, that sounds like something you and I might do. He says, we're literally in the time and the season where the enemy will be distracted and disrupted more so than we are if we're pressing into his kingdom. If we're not looking at everything's going around us, if we will press in. And once again, back to the page 3 of the calendar, I said, the Lord told us this was a year of entering a season of the REs. Okay, we had to apply the blood and repent, renew, restore, revive, refill, resurrect, reconstruct, redevelop, reconstitute, regenerate, renovate, redeem, repair, recall, reformation, reflect, rejoice, reward, revalue, receive, release, revelation, relax, and most of all, remember what my blood has done to you because you're entering into the time of the kingdom of the Lord. So when the Lord showed us some time ago now that heaven and earth had collided, he says, you're no longer having to go through this portal to go a long distance to get to me. It's one step. Literally, heaven and earth are occupying the same place. I am here with you, and I am joining the battle. Well, that's pretty good. I like that commander-in-chief joining the battle. But he's still expecting us to decree, declare, to command, demand. Put demands on the word. Put declarations on to send forth the angels, to stand, to reclaim that which is his for the time and season that we're in, that we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the testimony of the word, and that the enemy will be routed. So plant yourself strong, stand, decree and declare, and no matter what's coming, when you've done all you can do to stand, therefore stand. So, Father, help us to see now as we press into this night, this day, this time, this season, that you've given us what we need as we take refuge in you to stand. You said you would answer. If we'd come, if we'd call upon you, you'd answer. And that we would have the time in our lives to accomplish that which you said we should do, that you would be glorified, that we would be your light in this time, in this season, to ignite the fires of revival and restoration and all the REs I just said in the world. You said it's time to dig new wells. You said it's time to go in deeper. You said it's time to press like we've never pressed before. And then you said something that we're going to read this week, if you, those that read the calendar. John, myself, Steve, Sharon, and several others were privileged to be a part of a team that literally entered into a boardroom in heaven. It was a throne room situation. And he sat us down and he says, all that are mine, all that are praying, all that are decreeing and declaring, have a seat at my table. Whoa. I want you to think about that. We have a seat at the table because we're in him. He's in us. And when he sits in with the Father, or he sits in at the conference tables in heaven, when he sits down with the elders, when he goes and anything he does, we're in him. So we now have a seat at the table of the Lord. What a glorious time it is. It's time for the kingdom to be restored. So, Father, I want to thank you. I bless you. I call upon you. I praise you. I can't say enough. You said, Lord, pray this way. Thy, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed. Holy, holy, holy is thy name. Thy kingdom come. That's what you said for us to pray. Thy kingdom come. We were just thinking it'd be nice for your kingdom to come that we're going to be joining you. No, you said you'd join us. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He was praying an actual prayer of what we are supposed to be experiencing. On earth as it is in heaven. No sickness, no disease, no infirmity, no wickedness, none of the enemy. Joy in the presence of the Lord. For thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power. The enemy has no power, only what we allow him through fear. Thine is the might. You overthrew the enemy. You overthrew death, destruction, damnation, hell, and the grave. Forever. For all eternity. So, Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you had given us wisdom, discernment, and understanding, that you are bringing about increased knowledge beyond anything we could imagine. Witty inventions. A time and a season that we as sons and daughters are no longer called pastor, teacher, apostle, prophet, evangelist. We're called sons and daughters. The highest office there is outside the Lord himself is that his sonship and daughtership. We don't need any titles. We're sons, heirs, joint heirs, more than conquerors, above and not beneath, sanctified, set aside, made righteous and holy through that blood. So, Lord, as we've just gone through Passover, you passed over our sins, you passed over by the blood of the Lamb, we enter into a new season. We're getting ready to enter into a time and season of, it's called the Omer, counting of the Omer. And it began literally Sunday night. And that is the time until Pentecost, the great infilling. What are you going to do this year on Pentecost? What is the filling that you're going to have for us? The light of your glory, the power and anointing, wisdom beyond anything we've ever imagined, signs, wonders, miracles, health, healing, deliverance. What are you going to do this season? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I thank you and I bless you for us and all of our families. Help us to pray and know that we can plead and appropriate the name, the authority, and the blood from the very core of every cell outward in our bodies, on our land, on our families, on our homes, on our jobs, on everything there is. I thank you that thy kingdom has come. It's here. You said the kingdom of God is at hand. And now, literally, we can reach out and touch it. Taste it, smell it, feel it, see it. Because it is here. To thine be the glory. To thine be the power. Forever and ever. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Lord, for taking us over, that we will not be disappointed. Help us in our faith where we lack faith. Forgive us. Wash us and cleanse us now in Yeshua's name. Amen. Glory, glory. Well, I was thinking John was going to have another bell. There we go.
Now give a shout back.
Glory, glory. I don't know how many of you watch Glory of Zion if you get a chance. It got wild Sunday on Resurrection Sunday. He took out all 2,500 chairs in the main sanctuary there. And everybody stood and worshiped and rejoiced the entire time. And matter of fact, in one situation, Isaac Petrie was lifted up after he spoke, was lifted up above the crowds, laying backward, you know, just like a rock concert, but it was a glory concert. And the anointings were so great, and the power was there. I'd recommend you watch it. It'll bless you. It'll shake you up. It's not the normal service. And, you know, God is moving in incredible ways. A lot of the intel that I work with and get in the job that I do, there's breakthroughs. There's breakthroughs in family members. There's breakthroughs in every arena in the midst of the trials and turmoil. So be encouraged. John's going to go into a little more depth. He's got a song, and we're going to see if Steve's got something that he wants to share and a couple others, and then we're going to have times of prayer. So John Rockwell. All right, John, you got yourself muted this time. Mr. Rockwell? Uh-oh. He got knocked off his internet. He's trying to reconnect weather in different places here. And he's trying to bring it back around. So I tell you what, Steve, I was going to call on you anyhow. Has the Lord said anything? And it's a good time to even talk about the blessing that you had. It's a little thing, but it's a big thing. So does anything come to you that the Lord is saying right now?
Well, I'll share that just as a real brief encouragement because you know, God is so creative in the way he works with us, and we need to be careful that we don't presume and to get impatient. You know, there's examples of this in the scriptures where, you know, Saul was an example of this, where he got impatient with Samuel coming and went ahead and made the sacrifices himself. We making plans to make a trip to the States next month, and everything was put in place except for our trip in our 5 days or 6 days in Minneapolis. We could not find a place where, because there's four of us that are traveling, where all four of us could stay together, and everything seemed to fall apart. And even this afternoon, I got impatient and started looking for hotel rooms for the four of us. And I got a phone call later from one of my intercessors who was on a phone call with other intercessors that almost all of them I know and know me, talking and praying for this and praying for our trip. And she said she just felt the tug of the Holy Spirit to share our need for housing for the four of us. But she kind of put it off, and finally she said, I couldn't say no anymore, and she shared our need for the four of us housing. And One of the gals on the call, dear friend from years and years and years, has a condominium, a secure place, and she's going on vacation the day after we arrive in Minneapolis. And so she offered us her condominium, and she's calling, told the people at the condominium when they ask why she's given her secure key to this to apartment to somebody, she said, well, this is my spiritual uncle. So you never know how God's going to answer your prayers. But there's one other thing, I'll just take a quick minute. Another thing that I think is really important in these days, because a number of years ago, when I was reading through the Bible, I began to mark every place where there was an inference or a direct reference to the fact that the people of Israel did not listen or did not pay attention to what the Lord was saying. And I went through and I marked every one of those and made a list. And the book that had the most, not surprisingly, is Jeremiah, where he says over and over again, you did not listen, you did not listen, you did not listen, and you're going to be disciplined for that. And so I just want to encourage us, don't presume, and be sensitive and be tender to listen. And when the Lord speaks, respond, obey immediately, obey quickly. As Wade was saying, these are days that we need to readjust ourselves. The slackness of the times in the past are no longer good enough. We need to be ready immediately to obey when we are told to do something and not be like children of Israel when Jeremiah said, you just did not listen, you did not listen. So just take that to heart, and I'll let John take it over.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Glad for that. I know you talked about that in the beginning of the call before we recorded, but it's always good to hear it again because I got a little bit more detail on it. Let me do one thing here real quick. Okay. Wade pretty much covered what Johnny had said, so I'm not going to go to that particular piece tonight, but I will go the direction that I was going to go, talk about the happenings in our house this past week. And I want to talk about this briefly first, but then I'll go into that. And a few good words. There's going to be a time for us to come singing, and I'm talking to Wade again about he's going to have to sing. I'll have to get some recordings of that so that we can use it on our call. But flowers are going to appear, and that's special for my wife. She likes planting flowers and things in the ground on the earth once again. The time for singing has come, and the voice of the true love is heard in our land, and that's out of Song of Solomon. And again, Wade was talking about being invited to his table. That reinforces what he said there, that we have a place in his table. And we know what he is doing because we can see it all around. And so going to switch gears a little bit. This past week has been a very, very busy week for us. On Wednesday, we got a call saying that our granddaughter was in labor, and that particular morning, the next morning, she had our first great-grandchild, Eden. And she was born, weighed about 5 pounds and 2 ounces. The other specifics, I don't know. But she was in the hospital until Sunday. And then her temperature was low last night. So they took her back to the hospital again to do some more checking on her and found out that she has an infection. They're dealing with that tonight. And hopefully there'll be some more good news on that front tomorrow, that's been taken care of. Got to go see her on Thursday, which she was born early Wednesday, and then we went in the next day to Janice corrected
me.
Right, that's what I thought. We went in to see her specifically on that day and got to hold her and talk with mom and dad. And she was very quiet, didn't have, you know, much going on, but she is very light, doesn't have much weight to her, but that's okay. She's here, and we're glad that she is doing good, even though there's a few hiccups. She was born 5 weeks early, but they didn't put her in her ICU because of her weight. So that actually was a good thing. And as I was thinking about that, enjoying that particular time, these particular scriptures came to me, one out of Genesis and one out of Psalms, that kind of fit this particular theme. The first one is, or actually both of them we're very familiar with, but first one is out of Genesis 1, 27 and 28, where God said he created man in his own image, and in the image and likeness of God he created him male and female. He created them, and God blessed them and granted them certain authority and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subjugate it, putting under your power and rule over and dominate the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and every living thing that moves upon the earth. So right there, he's telling us to be fruitful and multiply. And of course, that's what happened with us, with our children and our grandchildren and now our great-grandchildren, that we're continuing to multiply. And yeah, I guess I can say we're filling the earth with our offspring as well. So we're fulfilling that, and that's a good thing. I'm always glad that we're blessed with a whole bunch of kids and grandkids and now a great-grandchild as well. The second scripture I want to read is out of Psalm 127. And again, this is a familiar one, but it says, behold, children are a heritage and a gift from the Lord. A fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of your youth. How blessed and happy and fortunate is the man whose quiver is filled with them, and they will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies and gathering into the city gate. So again, there's another blessing for having lots of children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren on my account. So to kind of shift gears a little bit, one mandate that we've had on this call for many, many years is seeking first the kingdom. And again, Wade talked about the kingdom as well and kind of drew me to go ahead and choose a song about seeking the kingdom first. So that's the song that I chose for tonight. Thank you. just thank you for tonight. Thank you for giving us this time to come before you, to worship you and to praise you and to give our testimony as well. Just want to thank you that Eden is here and that she has got a little bit of a rocky start, but we know that your hand and your angelic forces are with her and that she's going to be just fine. And we just are glad that you are protecting her and our families as well, and the families on the call too. And we just thank you for your son, Yeshua. And it's in him that I pray, amen. All right, Wade is still muted. Shall I unmute him? There he goes.
There we go. Thank you, sir. Like I said, tonight's a little different, but you're going to be blessed by it. Bruce and Linda, I'm surprising people tonight. Is there something that was on your heart and or prayer that you want to lift up?
We're surprised. glory, glory, glory. The goodness of God. That's, I spent some time a while back looking, the Lord had me studying the whole week on what was going on in the natural, and you know all the different events that were, you know, the big news items broadcast on the, you know, on our one channel that we get here on our rabbit ears, and you know, making note of all those, and then at the same time he had me looking at what are the various words of the prophets that are coming forth during that same week. And you know, if a person is spending all their time meditating in what the world is bringing forth, what a bummer. But if you're spending time listening to the words of the prophets and what the Lord is speaking to your own heart personally, what an uplift. What joy is birthed in your innermost being, knowing that God is moving by his power, by his spirit, that he is telling in advance the things that are about to happen in the earth, and the great joy that is for those whose hearts are fully yielded unto him and desiring to be his handmaids and hand servants. And it was just very, very refreshing to be looking at that. So anyway, the tendency in the conversations around the world are what all is wrong, but the conversations we need to be listening to, what is the Spirit saying, and all is well, and it is well with my soul because my soul is anchored in the rock, Yeshua HaMashiach. And so we are in a good place, regardless of what's going on, regardless of what the evil ones desire to do. They are under our feet by the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach and by his name and the power and authority that he has vested in us as his heirs of God and joint heirs with Yeshua. So, Father, I just rejoice in your faithfulness. Father, your faithfulness to your word to perform it. Father, you have spoken over our lives individually, the lives of those on this call and those who would listen to the call after the fact. Lord, you've given us great and precious promises, and those words shall come to pass, Father God. We hold on to it. We war with it, Father God, even as you told Timothy, Father God, to war with the prophecies that have been spoken over him. So thank you, Father God, for the good things that are coming forth in our lives that you desire to do in this nation and throughout the earth, Father God, through your body, your bride, those whose hearts are yielded unto you, are circumcised fully unto you for your service and your honor and your glory. We rejoice in your faithfulness, Father God, and we just rest in that. And we give you glory and praise for all that you've done, all that you are now doing, whether we see it or not, Lord, but we thank you it is done in the mighty name of your son, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Glory.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Linda, is there anything you want to add to that? that the Lord's put on your heart at the same time this week?
No, every week, every day, I declare and praise God that he has said that he is no respecter of persons, and what he did in the day of Esther, he's going to do in our day, and we are getting ready to see the Esther work happen, and the spirit of Haman, all of the evil is going down, and the glory of God is going to come forth through his children. So we are privileged to be able to humble ourselves before the Most High God, walk his word, declare his word, do his way, be his love in the earth. And I just, again, my intercession is a declaration that the Esther work is ours, and you listen to all of the media out there and the stuff that's going on. We're getting ready to see it happen. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Mark Binder, have you got a word or a direction or a prayer for tonight?
I got a prayer for you. It's a Passover prayer I used last year, but it's still pretty fitting, I think. So this is how it goes. Yahweh, our creator and provider, we come before you in the name of Yeshua to give praise and thanksgiving for the supreme sacrifice made for us by Messiah that took away the sin of the world. We are humbled by the love that it took for him to give up his life, even though it meant so much to so many people whose lives were touched deeply by him. And we remember this especially during this end of this Passover time. And blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, we pray for our nation, America. We pray for Canada, and we pray for the house of Israel, and that our enemies shall be defeated in the spirit and in turn in the natural world be occupied. Father, we call down all their evil plans and actions on earth and in heaven because they do not have standing with you as we do, and that scares them to death. So, Father, we call down all attempts to steal, kill, and destroy done to your people, our leaders, and your prophets by the enemy. Father, your word tells us that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. And so we declare that any action on their part against us shall be met with supernatural force by the Lord and the heavenly host of the army, greater in magnitude than has ever been seen before. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, Father, we pray for a dome of protection around us, our leaders, our military, our prophets, our family, and our friends, that the enemy cannot penetrate. And in that protection, we shall speak your words boldly. Your word says in Psalm 91, verses 9 through 11, quote, "For Yahweh is my refuge. I choose the God above all gods to shelter me. How then can evil overtake me or any plague come near? For he orders his angels to protect you wherever you go." End quote. So, Father, send your angels to go before us and aid us in this battle. Send guidance for your set-aside ones that revere you and walk in your ways to the best of their abilities. Strengthen us by your grace so that we may become valiant prayer warriors, speaking the words that you give us, Father. God save the Republic, God save the children, God save America, Canada, and the House of Israel. You are Yahweh, and there is no other. So amen, and thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Jim Carpenter, just so you know, I'm going to have you close tonight. Whatever yours says, and then I'm going to have you close. Robert Zuluaga, I know that you've got teachings, you've got things that are going on. Is there anything the Lord's telling you this week that we need to pray about or discuss?
Yeah, but I first want to say, Bruce, when I grow up, I want to be like you. John, you know, just the confidence of God saying, go forth, be fruitful, and multiply. When I was down with Jim Carpenter, his wife, and who else was with us, Jim? Just the three of us, right? No, there wasn't. No, Sandy was with us. And one of the themes of the America Fest was kids, you want to know what to do? Go forth, be fruitful, and multiply. And the younger generation was really grasping that, the truth of that. And they were preaching it from the from the event conference from a number of speakers, and I thought that was very cool. And then this week, I heard Elon Musk say exactly the same thing. And I'm like, wow. He says, yeah, the best thing you can do, he says, have kids. So anyway, I just encourage that. So now what God's been saying to me, what I see is, you know, the whole Enoch teaching that Johnny Enlow has been giving, understanding teaching that another preacher, teacher is giving forth is Kevin Zadi. And Kevin Zadi is, he died, went to heaven, and he preaches and teaches in a very cool way. And he's like, yeah, I don't get bumped off of Facebook. And he talks in circles, or in not circles as much as spirals. And his message is on understanding that aliens and the splitting of the veil is very real. Be ready for it. Be prepared for it. He talks about the dividing in the you know, like when this whole eclipse thing happened, what they were trying to do with a particle accelerator over in CERN was they're forcibly trying to break through the veil. And Kevin is saying that, oh no, be ready for it. So you understand that when you see these strangers, aliens, foreign beings, this is really demonic. This is a demonic, and be prepared to be able to contend with that in this time and space dimension. So I'm seeing that and drinking that in, realizing, you know, there really is something to just... Yeah. Wade, you said it in the sense of, you know, you thought you'd be raptured up or whatever, and no, you're here for the fight. I've always known that. I'm here for the fight. It's like, you know, I'm born for such a time as this. I'm not running away. So I guess the final point on that I want to share is that I'm watching in my very very real time in my world, there's a parting in the body of Christ between those who are engaged in this battle and speaking it out and those who just aren't. 2 weeks ago, I got two weeks ago, my pastor says, yeah, you can teach your class in American history and biblical citizenship. Then I send out a message to all of the folks on my mailing list, and he calls me back and says, you can't do this. You're teaching absolutely contrary to what I'm teaching. I'm like, wow, that's pretty amazing. So I chose to step back. It's like, I don't want to divide your congregation. If that's what you think you're called to teach, fine. I'm not going to go in there and, you know, cause division. So I just I'm watching this separation, a parting in the way between, in the body of Christ, those who are hearing the sound of the time. It's like, wake up, understand, engage, be ready to contend with what we've got, what we're really facing here, and those in the body who just want to play church, not really prepare the body for real practical things that are upon us spiritually. So given that, Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you for Wade's opening comments this evening. It just speaks right to my heart. I thank you, Lord, that you are positioning us so much for a time like this, so much that you have been preparing us for the battle, you've been preparing us for the victory, you're preparing us to occupy and take a seat in the heavenlies with you as we recognize and receive the victory of who we are as warriors in the spirit, warriors in the body of Christ, seated with the King, knowing that the devil's under our feet. And I just thank you, Lord, that you've chosen us. You've chosen us to, you've trusted us, and you have found us usable in this time. So, Father, I pray for those who are struggling in the battle, those who are equivocating, who don't have a clarity of purpose. those who are afflicted or depressed for whatever reason or whatever teaching they're under. I pray, Lord, that you release to them a clarity of purpose and a courage to say, it's time for me to move on. My people are somewhere else. My tribe is not here. So quicken them, Lord, to listen and have the courage to step out of a comfort zone and to find their people so that they are stationed and ready to fulfill what you've called us to in this time. And I thank you, Jesus. You're awesome. And I rest in the fullness of what you have in us, and I give you praise and glory and honor this evening. Amen.
Amen.
Glory.
Glory, glory. I got to ask you a question, Robert. Has the Lord told you to leave that congregation or stay?
Oh, leave, absolutely.
Yeah.
But funny, because I won't put myself under the authority of somebody who is literally has, I think actually of, who was it? Jesse Duplantis. Here's the story he tells. He goes, I went to this Catholic priest. And he says, hey, you need to talk to God. You come to me. He goes, why would I want to talk to you? He says, do you speak to God? He says, oh, no, I don't speak to God, but you should come and talk to me. He goes, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Then he's at this other church, and he's like, the ushers are saying something to some black folks in the congregation. Oh, no, this place isn't for you. And so these black guys are starting to walk out the church. And Jesse stands up and he goes, hey, where are you guys going? You going to lunch? Hey, I'll come with you. And he walks out of the church.
Jesse's something else. and we're in that time and season, folks. There is a separation. At the same time, you want to pray for everybody. You pray that the veil would be removed. Now, if you gave that pastor that outline, then he knows. He's been exposed to the truth. And he's going to be held accountable for that. And that's a hard thing. As a pastor, one of the big things that I had to always recognize, every time we're on this call, we're held accountable for everything we say. Now, I said I was going to do something that I didn't get done a couple weeks ago, and I got up the other day and it grieved me. I said, Lord, I blew it. I did not get done. I got doing busy work and you know, calls and these things, and I failed you. Forgive me. Help me to move forward. Well, in the past, you know, that was when you made a vow unto the Lord to do something and you didn't do it. You know, thank God for mercy and grace, because there was no out when you failed a vow to the Lord. So I thank him for his mercy and grace, and the fact that he took me from being an end-time teacher to being, wait a minute, the Word says this. The denomination says this, but this is what the Word says. Now, I've been, Robert, you know me, I've been teaching this since, I don't know, a long time, you know, early 2000s, that there wasn't any rapture anymore. You know, I did not believe in the rapture and the way it was structured. Is there a chance that there'll be a taking away? Yeah, well, the 144,000 get taken away. But that is totally different, and that is at the end of the millennial, and the you know, and there's people that say, are we in the middle of tribulation? I said, I keep saying we're in birth pains. I said, I don't know that we'll recognize the tribulation when it comes, because things get so bad, you won't be able to tell the difference. And I'll be honest with you, I don't care when it is. People go, what do you mean you don't care? I said, as long as I'm doing what he said, and I'm about doing his business to reestablish his kingdom, I'm going to be just fine. You know, he said he's coming back for those that are doing his work and his will. You know, have we been faithful? Like Bob Jones said, the Lord asked him just before he took him. Of all the things to ask Bob, he says, did you learn how to love? Wow. Yeah. And one of the times of prayer when the Lord said to us, he literally showed us the garden back at Adam and Eve. Showed us before the fall and after the fall. And he said, I want you to take the glory that was in the garden before the fall and bring it back and distribute it. Give it out. Well, man, that's a heavy-duty thing. That's you know, Steve was there. You know, we're sitting there going, wow. He'd already told us to. He gave us seeds in our hands one night. He said, these are the seeds of glory. Spread them. Well, I've done that. Try to be faithful in that. There's so many things that God is saying he wants us to do. And next month, the opening letter is going to be talking about what's your assignment. Most people go, assignment? I don't have an assignment. What's your assignment? What did he tell you to do? Are you still going around the mountain over and over again? Or did you accomplish the assignment that he said? And he'll give you another one and then another one. Unfortunately, we don't generally get the next assignment until we accomplish the last assignment. And that's not always true, but it's generally true. But God knows us. He knows our timing. He knows our hearts. So as we press in and press on, what is the assignment? Where are we? You know, then what is it that he wants us to do? So, all right. Well, somebody else just had to drop off, and that was Steve. It is late with him. It's 3 hours, John? It's 5 hours from you, so that would be...
Yeah, I think it's 5 hours difference from me, yeah. So 3 for you.
Yeah.
I think it's Atlantic time, but we'll have to ask him again.
Yeah. No, I'm only 2 hours from Atlantic, so he's further out than that. So, no, he's... So it's 11:30 over there, I believe. John Underwood, same thing to you. If you got a prayer or a word or something that you'd like to share. And John, I'm calling on Janet next if she's available.
Okay. Are you talking
to Mr. Underwood? I'm talking to you now. Yeah. If you got something that.
Okay. Yeah, I'll pray. Lord, I just praise your name. I thank you for how you're moving in the earth. And thank you, Lord, for your great mercy. Lord, I pray that you'll have mercy upon the people of Ukraine. They've been used by the deep state to hide secrets and to be kept at war so the secrets won't be found out. And, Lord, I just thank you that you are a just judge and that you are going to put a stop to this because it's not right at all. So, Lord, I just thank you for victory, and we declare victory for the kingdom of God. And, Lord, let a mighty harvest of souls come in Ukraine, I pray, and let that war be stopped, and let the killing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Israel, and I pray, Lord, that you'll let your will be done there, and let the pressure from this nation and other nations end that's coming against them, and just give you praise for victory in that situation, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. And Lord, I just lift up our dear President Trump, that you would continue to watch over him and his family and give your angels charge over them to keep them and to let them be covered completely by the blood of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that they are kept safe by your mighty power. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Very good. Thank you, sir. Janet, do you have anything that the Lord's put on your heart?
Yes, sort of. I shouldn't say sort of. First of all, I would like to thank everybody who prayed for my dad it's been 3 weeks ago now, maybe. I don't know. He's doing good. I don't know. I'm sure John said he's 96 and a half years old. And he fell down, you know, some stairs and with no broken bones, no broken hips, no broken legs, two cracked ribs, you know, as far as bones go. And so we were very blessed in that. And so he's doing well. And I just wanted to thank everybody for that. I appreciate those prayers as we proceed from here to figuring out what's next. So anyway, he is home. And but what I had on my heart was to read Psalms 24. So that's kind of what I'm going to do. And I like this. I like all of them, but I like this one because some of it is just really pertinent to what, you know, some of it that we're talking about, and then talking about, you know, the King, the glory of the Lord. So the earth is the Lord's and the fullness of it, the world and they who dwell in it. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the currents and the rivers. Who shall go up into the mountain of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted himself up to falsehood or to what is false, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation description of those who seek him, who inquire of and for him, and of necessity require him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you age-abiding doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Yes, lift them up, you age-abiding doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he then, this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And so, Lord, I just praise you that you are the King of glory. You are our King that we can look to and just abide in you and give us rest, give us peace. In your Son's most holy name. Back to you.
Amen. Thank you. Mark Carroll, do you have a word or a prayer or something God's put on your heart this week?
Yes, thank you. I love how the Lord brings confirmation. I was just watching the sunset out here in Colorado Springs over the Rockies, and I was hearing and feeling glory of the Lord, and then a wonderful sister just shared about the glory of the Lord. And it is beautiful. It is radiant. It is glorious. And even this brilliant sunset that I just witnessed is, you know, just an inkling of the glory of the Lord, the brilliance that is going to be reflected as we join him in eternity. And I wanted to share a word that the Lord gave me last week that I didn't get a chance to share. And it was restoration. So it was around Passover time. And it also ties into many of you have been talking about, you know, being obedient and doing what the Lord places on your heart. So part of my story quickly is 34 years ago, God delivered me from drugs and alcohol and many horrible things. And that was all about restoration. I knew the Lord, but I definitely was not walking with him. And none of my four wonderful children ever saw me in that state. And so I said, you know, my oldest is 20 29. But anyways, two of my younger sons are what we might call prodigal, although I reject that in Jesus' name, that that they are restored. And so I was last weekend, I was praying and reading the Word, and so many of you know, if you've had prodigal children and people that you love that aren't walking with the Lord, that, you know, I would love to run after them and bring them home, but they have to make the choice. And so at different times, God has, you know, put on my heart to reach out, especially to my youngest son, who I haven't talked to in quite some time. And so reading and being in the presence of the Lord, I felt the Holy Spirit say, you know, text him. And so, you know, in my flesh, I was coming up with reasons. Maybe I shouldn't, all these things. But again, being obedient and standing on a word that had been given, restoration, I texted him and said, I miss you, son. I love you. I'm praying for you. And so I sent that, and I actually sent it to both of my younger sons, as I said, that I'm not in relationship with. And I thought that the my middle son would respond to me. We've had a better relationship, and I really didn't think I'd get a response from my younger son, but I did. I got, I love you too. And so I just want to encourage you with that, that being obedient to what the Holy Spirit places on our heart, that God is all about restoration. We just celebrated Passover and the restoration that he brought through the spotless Lamb, Yeshua HaMashiach. And so that's what I'd like to pray about. So, Father God, we give thanks, Lord, for your love, your grace, your mercy. We give thanks that you desire restoration, God. We give thanks for the illustrations, like the word in the calendar, God, that you would light a fire in our hearts, God, and that you pursue us, God. And so I lift up those that have, you know, that aren't walking with you, that have walked away from you, your children, God. And I know, we know, God, that you desire them restored, healthy and whole with you, with the body of Christ. And so thank you, God. We decree and declare freedom over those walking in bondage, God, over hurts, habits, and hang-ups, God, struggling in areas that some of us are familiar with and some of us aren't. But, God, you are, and you pursue, you desire relationship, restoration, and healing. So God, we decree and declare that over our brothers and sisters that are struggling with depression, God, with loss, God, with health issues, with separation, God. We pray restoration, all and complete restoration over them, God. And Lord, we love you and praise you. We want to see your glory shine. We want to be the light, God, that we can see in sunsets and sunrises, God. We want to be the light in this dark world, God. All to your honor and your glory, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name we pray. Amen.
That's a good one. Glory. Glory, glory. Thank you, sir. Matt Westridge, have you got a prayer that you'd like to lift up tonight?
Sure. Lord, I just thank you and praise you for your kingdom in this time that we live in. And we pray that each and every person continue to come through and come near and enter into every part. So, Father, I just thank you. And ask that you will just continue to make your way through to the heart and soul in the actual state. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Thank you, thank you. Jim, whatever the Lord's got on your heart, and a prayer, and then I'm going to do communion at the end.
Oh, good. Thank you, Wade. You know, Wade, it wasn't long ago, it's fairly recently, you were relating a circumstance in your life where a well-known individual, I won't quote names because I don't feel at liberty, but anybody on this call would recognize the name. And when contacted, your response was, absolutely not. Why in the world would you think? Have you really lost your mind to think that I'd, you know, come amongst you and your den of thieves? And you know, that was kind of like another incident in my life. I was in high school, an art class. And it was early in the day, you know, 10, 11 o'clock. By that time, there had been a couple of the key guys in school, the boys that had their come up and spy a new guy in school, and knew that chatter was making the rounds. And everybody warned everybody in the classroom, you know, don't get in front of this guy. Well, no sooner than I gone out to my locker, and I was bent over, and the door next to me opens up and slams me in the neck and shoulders, and it was with great force. And I back out, and I found the perpetrator was in the same position I was, only I'd been the punter on the varsity football team, backed up across the hall and measured my stride. I drop-kicked him right in his scrotum, drove his head into the locker. And when he unraveled himself, he was 6'2 and 250. And every bit a man. And he's looking around. He can't find anybody in the vicinity because the room had cleared. It was just me and him, and he had to ask me the question, did you do that? And I said, by all means. And I'll give you worse than that if you're ever inconsiderate around me again. What does that represent? That represents the calm assurance, the blessed assurance that we represent the bull in the rim, that we reflect the face of Christ. See, it's not in a personal nature such as what mine could have been. It was in a spiritual nature. And that gentleman became my lifelong friend and my best confidant and protector. And later married my wife's cousin. But these are the days in which we live. Whether it be in situations like the church, I get it. I was there. We're not praying against names and people. We're praying against spirits. We're standing under the authority of the shed blood, the death, the resurrection. Keys to the kingdom. And we're privileged to have this seat, to be called at this hour. You know, most of us think that special forces are like SEALs and Rangers. No, no, folks. There's the elite of those people. And that's who we are. And we're privileged to have survived the boot camp, to have the knowledge, and the training to apply the knowledge. And because we have that understanding, we're not intimidated. We have clear judgment. We understand it's not that person, it's that spirit that they represent.
What a privilege. Blessed assurance. Wade, I turn it over to you.
Thanks, sir. Yeah, I get it. You know, I'm going to read a prayer, and I'm going to close, and we're going to do communion at the end of this. And this is out of the calendar for a couple days from now, which if you read it every day, you'll get it. And it also summarizes tonight and things we've been talking about and had no idea until I just looked at it. I've actually read it several times, but, you know, that was weeks ago. And this is what the Lord is saying tonight. I'm raising you from the lowest place, from the dust that you've ever been, from out of the ashes of your defeat. I'm raising you up and sitting you like a jeweler who sits in a high-priced diamond store in a royal ring. I'm raising you up and seating you in a place of honor at my table. Wow. Wow. Can you imagine that? We are now at his table. What did I say earlier? He took us to, gave us a seat at his table. I'm raising you up and seating you in heavenly places beyond the reach of your enemies. That's where we were. I've seen your pain. I've seen your desperation and need for me, your humility. I've seen your anguish and your tears that come before my throne. I will answer your prayers and remember your plea as I remembered Hannah when she gave birth to Samuel. For your Creator is your husband. The Lord of Heaven's army is his name. You'll no longer be remembered for your barrenness, for the frustration, anxiety, and failures, but for your fruitfulness. You don't have anything to fear. You are seated at my table. You have come under my protection. I will change your position and seat you in the seats that you have never sat in before. Get ready to be seated alongside those whom I honor, those whom I have established. Many will be losing their seats because of their arrogance and pride, because of their wickedness. But as for you, my son, my daughter, I'm moving you into a place of honor. You will be my guest of honor, fellowshipping and communing with me and coming under my protection. He said he's joined the fray. He's joined in battle right now. I'm lifting you up from your prison and seating you at a royal table. As Joseph was lifted from the prison to the palace, I'm going to do it again in you. For I'm the God of justice and righteousness is my name. I'm lifting you to a place where I will restore to you the ancient fortunes, those of your bloodline that have been stolen. I will restore to you lost fortunes. I will restore to you stolen fortunes. I now have seated you at my table. I tell you again, everything will start to change. For as you have honored me in your lowest season, I'm going to honor you now. And I will honor those who honor me. Get ready. For this is the month, this is the season, this is the time where it's begun. The shifts are taking place. Everything around you is shifting into seats of honor and glory. Now is the time. This is your season. Rejoice in it. Give thanks. Oh, Lord, I thank you. And Lord, as we pick up these communion elements, you said as often as we're gathered in your name to honor you with the brokenness of the bread and the wine, the fruit of the vine. And Lord, that is my communion prayer for tonight. It summarizes where we've been this night, and the prayers have been lifted up. Lord, you have taken us from the muck, the mire, the defeat, the ashes, the frustration, the anxiety, the failures, the sickness, the disease, the infirmity. You have lifted us up into the heavens and seated us at a table beyond our wildest imagination. We are seated with the elders now as sons and daughters. There's going to be such a rejoicing in heaven as you take these next steps, because you have put us here for such a time as this. We get to see that which the prophets of old desired. So, Lord, we come before you with thanksgiving and a grateful heart. And we lift up this bread that is striped and broken and pierced, representing that which you did with the shedding of your blood and your body and the brokenness that you gave for us. So, Lord, we partake of the brokenness of you and who you are, of your flesh, And Lord, we lift up the cup. The fruit of the vine, the fruit of the Spirit, representing Holy Spirit and your blood. You said that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the testimony of the Word. Well, Lord, we've heard word tonight. We've heard testimony. We've heard prayer. We've heard praise. We've heard promise. And we surrender it all to you and give it back to you and take this as it enters into our body. You enter every cell of our body, your fullness. Wash us with the washing of the water, the word, and the blood. Forgive us. Forgive me, O Lord, for my failures and shortcomings. For I have failed you continually. As much as I try, I fail you every day. Attitude, action, deeds, not spending enough time, whatever it is, forgive me. Cleanse me and everyone that's on this call and our families. Put a mighty hedge from the inside out that we would radiate your light and your glory and your blood. Let us be beacons, lighthouses in the darkness. Let us walk into those places where the enemy is and they will flee in terror. Let us walk into their conventions and have them run out the doors and jump out the windows and let those that would be delivered. Let them see your power and your glory. Cleanse us now, renew us now, fill us now and empower us now. In Yeshua's name, partake of the vine. Glory, glory. Everybody, please lift up John and Janet's great granddaughter. That's so cool. And that be sure that she's part of your prayers. I prayed for her today and before, and now it's time that we just lift her up before the throne. God's going to bring her home safely and healed. I know it in my spirit, and John knows it, and Janet knows it. It's just that something needed to be taken care of, and they're working on it, taking care of it. I want to thank you all for your faithfulness, for coming, for being here so consistently, for praying and giving us your word and wisdom and insight of what God's saying into your lives, that it can become a part of our lives. Do keep us all lifted up. Matt is still out in a sabbatical, pressing in. And I've got other people. Sharon's out in a sabbatical, pressing in. There's many of us that have called out to do these things. I've had to do it several times. John's had to do it. We're all in a position where we need to seek, hear, know, and understand what the Lord is saying for the times that we're in such a time as this. Be blessed. May the Lord keep you. May he watch over you. May the host of heaven encamp around about you. And may the glory of the Lord shine through you as you plant the seeds of the light of his glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.